one thing that we get to do that no other creature on the planet can do is that we get to add value by creating things.
And I went from $40 million in revenue to watching everything that I had built for God get sold.
Good morning. Has it been a long night?
You've got to make sure that your identity is solidly rooted in who you are in Christ and not in having money.
I sold my company and I really had a hard time getting out of bed.
Maybe been a long year, maybe been a hard life, maybe you're not all right.
Faith-driven entrepreneurs to do what they want to do have to understand what God has given them.
There's winners and learners, not winners and losers.
I feel like I was chosen to be on this show for a reason and I had to do something.
Like, we are addicted to comfort. And he's called me into really difficult positions. That's what he's told me to walk into.
People like you, people like me. This is where we all find grace. Come on now.
Entrepreneurship can be a lonely journey, but it doesn't have to be. This podcast and the whole ministry seeks to equip you, the faith-driven entrepreneur, to seize the unique opportunities that God has placed in front of you and overcome the challenges that life will throw your way. These are the stories of how he takes broken things and makes them new. Come for the podcast, stay for the community. Welcome to Faith Driven Entrepreneur.
Hey everyone, welcome back to the Faith Driven Entrepreneur podcast. I don't know about you, but today I could just use a little laugh. Yeah, you know, with all that's going on around us, a little laughter, a little levity can make things better. And today we might get a laugh or two on the podcast. That's because we have, for the first time, a guest who's a working comedian. I mean, we've had funny people before, but we've never had a true working comedian as a guest, and today we do. Michael Jr. is one of comedy's most gifted stars. He got his start performing at the legendary Comedy and Magic Club in Hermosa Beach. His outstanding performance there led to Michael Jr. being a performer at the Just for Laughs Comedy Festival in Montreal, where he was the first comedian ever to appear live via satellite on The Tonight Show. Michael's career, well, it took off from there. And today, he tours the country using comedy to inspire audiences to activate their purpose and live a life fulfilled. His impactful delivery and versatility has landed him on stages like The Tonight Show on NBC, many TEDx Talks, and Jimmy Kimmel Live. He's also appeared in the feature film War Room and earned starring roles in Selfie Dad and the feature comedy special More Than Funny. Michael has spent a significant portion of his career making laughter commonplace in very uncommon places, such as homeless shelters and prisons. We're excited to talk comedy and how it's serious business with Michael Jr. on today's FDE podcast. Let's listen in. Henry?
Welcome back to the Faith Driven Entrepreneur podcast. I'm here with William Russey, went off to a dentist appointment. You can't make this stuff up. So we just actually, before we went online, we actually prayed for him. And he's going to be back with us, of course, for other episodes. And we're talking about how much we actually really, really enjoy doing this. And I hope that you as an audience enjoy the times when all three of us can get on. I think that maybe 96, 97% of the time we are all three together. Today we are not. We are joined by our first ever, you know, when you've been doing this for 200 times, you start running out of first. And yet I can tell you, William, that this is our first ever time with a comedic thought leader, a CTL.
That's good.
Pretty cool.
I mean, I think I have that on my LinkedIn, but I don't know if it's approved by anyone.
Nope, it's not.
So, yeah. So he's the first official.
He's the first official one. Before we get to Michael Jr., who we've got in the house, which all kinds of fired up about, I actually want to bring up something that's actually serious. And that is that a product recommendation. I have very, very, very much enjoyed Nikki Gumbel's Bible in 1 Year app. It's just awesome. My wife, Kimberly, about 6 months ago, stumbled on it. And I've had the great fortune and blessing of meeting Nikki Gumbel and just a super guy. And I've known, of course, about the Alpha Course. And she kept on saying, wow, I've read this in the Nikki Gumbel app this morning. And my three boys have started making fun of her. Like, oh, tell us what Nikki had to say. But this year, for January 1st, I started. And it is the best app that I've ever had. And I just think it's super cool. So I put it up on LinkedIn and I say, the Bible in 1 year app is really, really good. And I really think it is. And Chris Hershend, who we've had on the podcast before, came in. And Chris Hershend is, our audience might remember, runs Hershend Family Entertainment, Dollywood, and things like that. Maybe 20 different theme parks around the country. And he came in and said, if you do that, don't miss an opportunity. Instead of reading the scripture on the app, take a Bible and read it in the Bible and take notes and highlight and do that over the course of the year. And at the end of the year, you will have something to give to your kids. It'll be the entire year with their dad's thoughts about God's word in it. And I've got three boys, so at the end of 3 years, I'll have this. And so I thought that was super cool, and I'm doing it. And I thought I'd share that with our audience.
That's awesome.
You're going to share the Bible? You're going to make copies for everybody and all the listeners? Wow.
Yes. Yeah. See, this is why we've waited 200 times to have you on the program, because you can get us in big trouble like that. I'm sharing with you just the goodness of that brilliant idea. Paying money to Zondervan is on you. It's on you. Michael Jr. in the house. Michael, thank you very much for joining.
Thank you so much for having me. I really appreciate this. This is awesome, man. Thanks for trusting me with this space. Let's get in this. Let's jump in. I'm excited, man. Thank you. Thank you. Thank you.
Okay. If you have to pick an entourage, you're putting together a comic night and you think about all this is off script, by the way. So I'm throwing you something. We're going to see how you do with improv. And you think about all the characters in the Bible. Who are the ones that you think would be the best to entertain an audience and might have a good sense of humor?
I think the best sense of humor in the Bible is probably, I'm going to go with, I almost want to say Romans. I think whatever the book was when we were talking about when they said, go away, body, with Elijah. And then the bears came out and mauled them. That's funny. But I actually think the Jesus.
I don't know if we're going to release any of this on video or not. Michael Jr. does not have a lot of hair in there. That's some element of the joke that he just shared with us.
No, it's not actually. It's in the Bible. I don't know if you read it or not. But when those kids came out and they started talking about Elijah and they were like, go away, Baldy. Go away, Baldy. Wait, does anybody else?
Oh, yeah. Yeah, I'm with you.
I'm going to get that.
Yeah, but Henry's on day 13. Henry's on day 13 of the Bible, remember?
Oh, yeah, that's the problem. That's the problem.
Well, no, I've read it before.
No. You don't need to.
Don't try to fix it.
It's a humility podcast. We don't need to tell people things that aren't true.
Don't try to fix it now.
Oh, my goodness.
You finished the Quran. So that was funny. But I really think actually that Jesus had a significant sense of humor. We just can't see it now because we know the end of the story. In fact, Rick Warren, I did an event with him and he gave me a book that I read called The Humor of the Christ. Mm. And he told me I had to read it. I was like, dude, why don't you buy it for me? He didn't buy it for me. So whatever, I had to get it myself. If you ever get a chance to read this book, don't. It is a miserable read. However, it really pointed out to me some key elements that where Jesus actually was using humor, because I understand how comedy works. How there's a setup and there's a punchline and you have to change the direction in order to, after you make the whole audience think in one direction, you change it and cause them to laugh. But literally, there's lines in the Bible. If you look at them, that's what Jesus was actually doing. For example, when he said, imagine somebody sitting around with all their friends, all their boys, right? And they're sitting there and then somebody walks up to them and they say, hey, I want to be down with y'all. How can I follow y'all? And then he's like, well, once you sell all your stuff, and then you can hang out with us, right? And then the guy is like, sell everything? I don't want to sell it all. And he leaves and he walks off. Now, Jesus is there with all of his boys. And this dude is walking off. And then Jesus turns to his boys and says, what? Man, it is easier for a camel to go through the eye of a needle. Boom. That is straight punchline. That is straight punchline right there. But because we know the end of the story, we assume there's no way Jesus was laughing. But if laughter actually opens up the heart, and it does,
yeah,
and Jesus was trying to make a deposit into people's hearts, chances are really high that he was actually using humor to do so.
Oh, that's good. That's good. Okay. Yeah. So we,
but you'll find that something. Out. You'll find that out after you read the Bible a little more, after you get past page 13, you'll find
that
out.
That's cool. Right. So thank you for being on the podcast. You know, what we do is we typically don't, you know, ask a difficult question that then comes back to make fun of the host at the outset of every one of our episodes. We typically talk to the guests and ask them about themselves and just give us a flyover. Who are you? Where do you come from? As a listener, you probably have imagined that, you know, this fits in because Michael Jr. is running a business. He does bookings. He comes up with content. Anybody is an entrepreneur or business owner, if they store the mission and vision of what they're doing, if they resource it and they get the right people on the bus. And Michael does all those things. And we've missed a lot of that. You know, we had Lecrae write the foreword to the book and really felt that that was probably the first time we really looked at the creative industry and entrepreneurs in the creative industry. And like, oh my goodness, of course. I mean, if the creation mandate that kind of undergirds our entrepreneurial call, why are we not having more artists that are responsible for creating their product and marketing it and serving it? How have we missed that? So we've got Michael Jr. on in that vein. We're going to get at that today. But before I do that, Michael, who are you? Where do you come from?
So I grew up in Grand Rapids, Michigan, and I started doing comedy probably around 20 years. I've probably been doing comedy for like 26 years now. Wow. And I love it. But when I started doing comedy, my comedy was always clean, but it started because I wanted to really be accepted. I was trying to get accepted by people. And, you know, I make my friends laugh at school. I remember going to the movie theaters once and a friend dared me to go up because in the middle of the movie, it stopped. My friend dares me to go up and tell a joke. I went up and told this joke and all these moviegoers who were just disgruntled, they all laughed. And then they want more comedy, but I don't have any more comedy because that's the only joke I knew. And that joke was actually a dirty joke that I'd heard, but I rewrote the joke in my head so I could present it in a clean way. So I told the joke. And then I go sit down and security comes looking for me to kick me out. And I'm sitting down there and security's looking for me. And this white lady who I've never met before, I don't know any of these people in this movie theater. She stands up and she says, if you kick him out, I want my money back. And then these bikers with long hair and tattoos and these black people, like the whole room stood to their feet in my defense. And it just blew me away. Wow. So I look at that in retrospect. And I used to think that it was really God giving me a glimpse of what I'm called to do, which is make people laugh. But what he was really showing me in that moment, all of those years ago, was what I'm called to do is make people laugh so they can come together for something bigger than themselves. And that's what I get to do on a grand scale now. So I'm super, super excited about that. And then the biggest revelation I had through my comedy career, I was outside of a club one night in Los Angeles performing. And right before I got on stage, you know, I had a change in mindset. I had a shift take place. Because normally when a comedian gets on stage, what we want to do is we want to get laughs from people. But I had a shift take place and I felt like God said to me, instead of trying to get laughs from people, I want you to go up there and give them an opportunity to laugh. This changed everything because now I'm not looking to take, I'm simply looking for an opportunity to give. Oh. I'm telling you, entrepreneurs, if you will get a hold of this, it will change how you do business. It will change who you hire and why you hire them. Simply shift the question to what can I give? Because by default, we're asking, what can we get? Anyway, so I get up on stage that night. And I don't do a joke for the first 20, 25 seconds. Normally, my goal was to have people laughing in 7 seconds. But I didn't even do a joke for the first 25 seconds. And it was because I was getting to know the audience. When you have a gift for someone, your job is to present the gift. But when I was on stage before, I was trying to get something from them. So I go on the stage and I do my comedy and we have a great time. I leave the club that night and I remember I'm taking pictures of people outside the club and I look across the street and I saw a homeless guy. Yo, I had never, ever seen a homeless person outside this club before, ever. And I've been to that club many times. But that doesn't mean he wasn't there before. It's just that before, my mindset or the question I was asking, if you will, was how can I get laughs from people? So why would I even notice a homeless person? So when I changed the question to how can I give people an opportunity to laugh, I noticed this homeless guy. And I thought to myself, what about him? How could I give him an opportunity to laugh? And that's what sparked the idea for me to start a nonprofit that I have called Funny for the Forgotten, where we go to homeless shelters and prisons and abused children's facilities, and we make laughter commonplace in those uncommon places. So just that little shift right there has changed everything, not just in my career, but really how I do business, shifting from what can I get to what can I give. It changed everything.
That's awesome. Do you remember how you interacted with that homeless person that first time?
So that homeless guy, I didn't know what to do. I was froze. I just saw him. And here's the thing, to be real with you, at the risk of sounding creepy, I don't even know if the dude really exists. I almost feel like it was like God just showing me, yo, are you really seeing everybody you need to see? And then I remember saying to myself, how could I give him an opportunity to laugh? And I was thinking, if I ever get a chance, that's what I'm gonna do. And here's what happened. When you change your question, you start to see different answers. 4 days later, I'm doing an event and this lady comes up to me on my autograph line and she says, hey, I volunteer on Skid Row at a homeless shelter. Have you ever considered coming to Skid Row to do comedy? And I was like, no, I haven't. Like, I froze up. I'm gonna be real with you. I like to tell you, I jumped out with a gold microphone out of a phone booth with a cape on. I was scared, but I took her car. And a week later, I'm on Skid Row in Los Angeles. Now, for those who don't know, there's a 4-block radius in downtown Los Angeles where they have about 10,000 homeless people in a 4-block radius. So I'm walking down Skid Row to go to the Union Rescue Mission. And I'm thinking to myself, snap, these people are not going to laugh. And I get up on stage and they're coming in slowly but surely, but people aren't laughing. And I'm feeling a little like it's really hard for me to take the fact that people aren't laughing at my jokes. But then I remember my question. My job is to give them an opportunity to laugh. When you have a gift for someone, your job is simply to present the gift. It's not about what you receive back. As soon as I had that thought, everything just relaxed. I went on did some more comedy and people started laughing a little more. Then I noticed the more people were coming in and some of them were looking at the clock. So while I'm on stage, I'm doing the math. I'm like, wait a minute. They probably eat at 5 o'clock and they probably eat after the presentation is done. So I talked to a guy up front. I said, hey, what time do you guys eat? He said, we eat at 5. It's like 4:52. And then he said, but we can't eat until the presentation is done. I said, really? I said, well, guess what? These jokes better start getting funny because I'm just going to keep on running them until we figure out. So we could be here forever unless y'all laugh. And the whole room explodes in laughter. Now, they're not laughing because I told them they weren't going to eat. They're laughing because I connected with them and I knew where they were. Yeah. We went on for the next 6 minutes, had a great time, sat down, shared a meal together, and I learned so much in that moment. So every time I do a homeless shelter or prison, I learn so much from, I just learn so much because it's about what can I give, not simply what can I give.
So entrepreneurs are a group. So in terms of giving something to an audience, you might be able to identify with it. And I'm going to put you on the spot again. Knowing a group of folks, and I don't want to overstate the plight of a faith-driven entrepreneur, but entrepreneurship can be a lonely journey. And it's, you know, you're responsible for, as I said before, stewarding the mission and vision, resourcing, getting the right people on the bus. That's Kurt Kyle-Hacker does such a great job of giving that type of an overview. But it's like you're always selling something to somebody, right? You're selling something to your customers, of course. You're selling something to employees to come on board. You're selling something to employees to stay. You know, some of us are more successful at it than you are. We talked about your assistant leaving. That's me making fun of you. That's returning right. The favor if you weren't catching.
Thanks. It's just horrible that you had to explain the joke, though. That's the really bad part.
That's why I'm a podcast guy and not a comedian. Yeah. And there are lots of people that tell you that that's good because I'd never make it as a comic.
Yeah. But I got a podcast too, though. I just want to point that out.
Do you have what's a podcast?
It doesn't matter. I was just pointing out.
It does matter.
I'm doing both, and you just – it's called Funny How Life Works.
Funny. Okay, good. There you have it. Funny How Life Works. You can be, as it turns out, you can be funny and a podcast host.
Yeah, which means some of us can.
I'm 50% the man that Michael Jr. is. So, but you're selling something to somebody. And then what ends up happening is, you know, you come back from work and you're at your house and your spouse says, how to go to work today? And you feel like you need to sell them too, right? Because they don't think you should have left that job at Nortel or Cisco to do what you're doing. And there's a loneliness aspect of it. So knowing that's knowing that's our plight, what's funny about that? What can be funny about that? What's an opportunity for us to laugh?
So I would almost question the plight though. Yeah. Because if you go in saying and recognizing it's going to be lonely, it'll be lonely. So for example, for everybody listening right now, if I said to you, how many items in the room or the place you are, or maybe you're driving down the street, how many things do you see that are a color red? Like just right now, like actually, William, everybody, just take a look around. How many red things do you see in the room? Like literally, how many red items do you see? Just count as many as you can in the next couple of seconds, as much red as you possibly could see, as much red. All right, now stop for a second. Now just close your eyes for a second. Just bear with me. Just close your eyes for a second. Yeah. And now tell me how many things you saw in the room that were blue. How many things?
None. 14 red. Can't think of a blue.
I had 14 red. We're in different rooms.
Crazy. All right, now look and see how many things are in the room that are blue.
Lots.
Yeah, a lot. You never
more saw blue than red.
Right. So if you show up as an entrepreneur saying, wow, this is going to be really, really lonely, then you're already preset to find those things. But if you go in there saying, this is going to be awesome because I get to find people who I get to help with this thing that I have, you'll find those opportunities and it'll actually feel more fulfilling because you haven't put yourself in this box of anticipation where you only notice what it is you're really looking for, because the ego wants to be right, even if the outcome isn't what you really want. But at least you get to say, see, I knew it. I knew I was going to be lonely. Oh, here I am. But no, the truth is you don't want that. So look for something else. And you actually start to find a thing. So it truly is funny how life works. I don't plug my podcast. I'm just
That's funny.
And you got a book with the same title too. We can plug that too while we're at it.
Do have a book called Funny How Life Works. Well, thanks, William. I appreciate you, man.
Hey,
I want you to ask the questions from here on out, man.
I want to take a second to talk about what you just mentioned. I mean, so I started a company 3-4 months ago for the first time, and it just hit me. It's so funny how you just mentioned that. The amount of people whose first question to me has been, wow, that must be really stressful. How stressful is that journey? Like, how are you sleeping at night? Like, I literally had a text this morning, somebody who's going on, and I said, hey, I just got to check in. How's your entrepreneur stress level? It's like they're preceding that it's like
exactly
really awful. And no exactly. one's asked me yet, probably, or very rarely. I do use hyperbole to make a point sometimes. Like, hey, what are you enjoying about the journey? It's all about the negatives is the main exactly. questions I get. And
exactly. So I think if people would just start to focus on the fact, like if you really believe in whatever that product is, and here's what I think relieves stress a lot. At the end of any product, at the end of any job, whatever you do, there's people at the end of it. But most of the time, what happens is people will focus on the thing or the money. But if you can focus on how you're helping the person at the end of it, it actually brings you more joy. I had a guy at my show. Well, I get heckled sometime too, but then it's always a reason I'll get heckled, right? And I always say to a heckler, like, what exactly? Let me see if I got this right. You came to a comedy show with your own jokes. Let me just to be clear, like you don't go to Starbucks with some coffee grounds in your pocket. Like you just, so I asked this guy, I'm like, what do you do? And he says, he's a mechanic. And I'm talking to him. I'm like, so what does that mean? He said, it means I get paid to fix cars. So we started having the same conversation I'm having with you. By the end of our conversation, he realized, because we made a shift, that what he actually does is help people reach their desired destination. So like he didn't change jobs. He focused on the people. And as a result of that, like he actually gets excited when a minivan shows up now, because it's a whole family that he gets to help get to grandmother's house. And in his mind, he gets to play a completely different game. Therefore, the stress level drops significantly. So if you stop focusing so much on the product or the processes and focus on the people that you're helping, I really do believe that those levels drop significantly. It does for me. Like my assistant, I had one assistant who got pregnant, decided to stay home with her kids and her husband. What kind of weird stuff? That's just weird and crazy. But even when I hire people, I'm really bad at hiring people, by the way. I don't hire people anymore. Somebody else does it. But when I hire people, I would always ask the question, ooh, what can I give? Like, what can I do for this person? I'm looking at those things, which is why I don't hire people no more, because I see their potential, even when they don't, unfortunately. So anyway, I digress. Next question.
All right, let's digress back. Tell us about Funny How Life Works. Tell us about the book. Tell us about what goes on there. Give us a flyover.
Okay. Yeah. So the book is, like you mentioned, it's Funny How Life Works. And I wanted to take some stories from my life that were funny and inspiring and use them to leverage learning, really. I wanted people to learn some stuff. So I got some stories, like one story that is probably on a scale of 1 to 10 of all the stories is probably really, I would say it's a 7. There's some strong stories in there. But one of the stories, a guy comes to my comedy show and there's this thing I do on stage, right? I'm on stage. At this event, I think there was like 3,000 people there. And what I do is I listen in between the gaps. Now, I used to ask, how can I get laughs from people like I told you? But now while I'm listening between the gaps, the question I'm asking is, what can I give to my audience? And it morphed from how can I give them laughs to what can I give to my audience? So I'm listening between the gaps. And what will happen is my comedy shows are 80% funny. Like you're going to laugh, but there's that little, sometimes 10%, sometimes 20% where I'll say something extra that I feel like I should say. So at this in particular show, I mentioned how comedy works, how there's a setup and there's a punchline. But then I mentioned how life works. In life, there's a setup and a punchline too. Your setup is what you received, but your punchline is about what you're called to deliver. And a lot of people know their setup, but not everyone knows their punchline. And what you'll do if you don't understand your punchline, you'll think something's missing and you'll think what you need to fill that void. You'll think you need more setup. If I could just get married, if I could just get another business, if I could just open up this, if I could just, but you really need to know what is your punchline. Mm-hmm. And I said, and when you don't have that, you'll feel like you're in prison, right? So anyway, I say that. And this lady approaches me afterwards. I'm doing an autograph line and this lady approaches me and she says, I get it now. And she walks away. I'm like, you didn't get anything. You didn't buy a book. You didn't buy a t-shirt. You didn't get nothing. I don't know what you're talking about. So anyway, I go back a year and a half later and this lady approaches me. Same lady, autograph line. She says, do you remember me? And I don't have a colorful past, by the way. But when a woman just roll up on you and say, do you remember me? I'm like, listen, lady, I might look like Dave Chappelle. You think about the wrong person. I don't know what you got going on. Anyway, and she says, I talked to you a year and a half ago. I got to tell you what happened. I was like, okay. So I finished up the autograph line. And she says to me, when I was here a year and a half ago, she said, I'm a school teacher. And I was minus $137 in my bank account. And she said, on top of all of the other stress, she said, someone gave her a ticket to my comedy show just to laugh and forget about her problems for a little while. She said, on top of all of the stress, her favorite student approached her that day, which is a Friday night, and said that she wasn't coming back to school anymore because her mom was going to prison and her dad she never met before. And she didn't want to get caught up in the foster care system. So she's going to figure it out on her own. The teacher comes to my show. She's laughing. And then I said those things in between the gaps. By the way, let me pause. Every entrepreneur listening right now, whatever you do, no matter how busy you are, there's gaps. What question are you asking in between the gaps? Are you asking a question of what can I get? Or are you asking a question of what can I give? And if you don't know the answer to that question, I think you know the answer to that question by default. Okay, so she says, Michael, you said what you said, and then I knew what I had to do. She said, then I walked past your autograph table, and I said to you, I get it now. So what she did was she went out to the parking lot, got in her car, and called the student up and said, listen, I don't know what this looks like, but why don't you come live with me for a little while? And we just figure this thing out. She brings the student to her house that same night. On Sunday, they're unpacking her clothes, and the teacher says that she found a suicide note dated for Friday. And she's, and I'm sitting here getting emotional. And then she said, since you've been here, I've adopted her and her little sister. She said, they're right behind you. Do you want to meet them? And wow. I couldn't even turn around. Mm. Like, it took me about 5 minutes where I could turn around and look at these kids. But what really happened? All I did was listen in between the gaps, say or deliver or give what needed to be given that moment. And then these are the results. And she was listening as well, though. So listen. Everybody out there who owns a business, could it be that you have your business so you can get access to some people that you wouldn't have met otherwise? So you can do the thing that you wouldn't normally do that probably has nothing to do with the thing that you're selling. Just a question.
It's a good question.
Well, you look like you also fly a helicopter. I mean, those headsets look like you.
You like that? You like that? It makes me look professional. This actually isn't plugged into anything. It just makes me look like I'm doing something.
You're a gamer, really.
It's all for show. Yeah.
He also has a winter coat on, which makes you wonder, like, where is he really doing this from?
Yeah.
I'm at this super cool church co-working space that does not have heat, is where I am. But it's awesome.
Oh, but you're saving money. So that's what's important.
Yeah.
All right, I have a question for you. What's the pressure like? You've been doing this for 26 years, and people know you as being a funny guy. So, like, we're going through the podcast we had on our slate today, and our executive producer is not on this, Justin Foreman, just like, okay, so here's where you're, this, and this. And then he's like, oh, and Michael Jr. is a comedian. He didn't say comic thought leader. I've now changed everything to be that. But he said, you know, he's a comedian. I'm like, well, that's great. That's going to be easy. I won't have to prepare for that. Which connotes that there's some level of responsibility you have of carrying the podcast, because I had to be thoughtful maybe about how to really think through how we're going to do the other podcasts.
Oh, I was going to carry this one. I knew I was going to carry it from the gate. I've watched before. So I was like, I got to carry this whole thing.
That's right. I'm going to be on with William. You know, and then you find out that Rusty's not here. And you're like, that was the only chance I had of somebody being able to help me. And just, I could work with that guy. And now he's not even on it.
No, he's not here.
Yeah. Right. That's fair.
So, there was a question somewhere in there.
I think so.
Well, the question is this, is that what's the pressure to perform, right? I mean, so you go from podcast to podcast, to interview to performance, and everybody expects you to be funny. There are probably times you don't feel like being funny, Or maybe there aren't. I don't know. What's that like?
So I believe that how you do anything is how you do everything. I actually coach a couple people on how to present on stage. I actually am really happy that I'm the same person off stage that I am on the stage. So like people will literally walk up to me and like a pastor friend of him, who's a great friend of me now. But when I first met him, he said, "Hey man, say something funny." I was like, "Dude, see them people over there? Go bring them to Jesus." Like, would you? Like, I'm supposed to just do this on the spot? So I actually feel no pressure at all. I just don't. Because here's what I know. When people come to my events, they're coming because they want to laugh. That's not always what they need. Like, so I get to show up what they want and then maybe find out what it is they really need as well. So mm-hmm. the same thing could happen in a conversation. Like, we could be having a conversation about one thing, but here's what I used to do. Here's a mistake a lot of people make who have a sense of humor. And I used to do this as well. They would use comedy as what I call a chicken exit. So as soon as things get a little serious or a conversation is getting a little uncomfortable, they'll say something funny to alleviate the pressure and then change the subject. I really used to do this a lot. And then one day I saw myself doing it and I just start asking the question, well, why am I doing that? What am I afraid of on the other side of it? Like, everyone has chicken exits. It's just mine was to make something funny. But now I rarely will do that. In fact, I'm okay with the silence. I'm okay with whatever's on the other side of the awkwardness. Like, I'm really cool with that. Like, I really want to learn from that. So now even at my events, I never, like if I'm having a deeper conversation with someone in the audience, I'm cool with that because I know I got the funny. Even in this podcast, I think we're rolling at probably 80-20 serious versus funny. But I can bring funny whenever I want. That's just like a side dish. I can do that. But I'm only using it to get to where I really want to go. So I never feel any pressure to bring the funny because that I used to when it was about me getting something from somebody and me being accepted. But now I don't feel that pressure at all.
So it's a ministry.
Oh, yeah, absolutely. That's what a lot of people refer to it as. Yeah, that's what it's called. Unless we're negotiating, then that sounds weird because they don't pay them much. So
that's true.
It's a ministry. True. You're doing it for the Lord, right? Yeah, God could laugh too, but he got a free ticket to all my events. Like the Lord could be, he's there. So,
I knew that. I've seen you perform, and it's awesome. So if anyone is ever anywhere near, I think I saw you at the Truth at Work conference 3, 4, 5 years ago.
Oh yeah, yeah, that was fun.
It's so good. Really enjoyed it. And I'm curious. That was a Christian event. Not all mm-hmm. of them are that you perform at, but I'm curious. We haven't really gotten there yet. You've kind of drop some things in, but how does your faith influence your comedy? How do you think about those two intertwining or not intertwining?
I would say the answer to that is yes. Meaning, I know that wasn't a yes, no question, but I don't know how it wouldn't. You know what I mean? Because even like when I get on stage, I'm asking literally, what can I give to my audience? And I used to ask, what can I get? Just that mindset alone, like even thinking about setup and punchline, like the setup is when a comedian makes the audience think in one direction. But a punchline occurs when he changes direction in a way they're not expecting. When they catch on to the change, they receive the punchline and the results are revelation, fulfillment, and joy, but it's expressed through laughter. Well, as I mentioned, life is the same way. There's a setup and there's a punchline. But the key is to understand how to deliver that punchline so it can bring revelation, fulfillment, and joy, which is exactly what Jesus did. Like, think about the life of Jesus from a setup punchline perspective. He was the king, actually the king of kings. So everyone knows they should serve the king, which is the direction everyone was going, especially when he entered the city. But what did he do? He changed the direction in a way they weren't expecting. He said, instead of you serving me, I'm going to serve you. I'm going to climb up on this cross and I'm going to die for you. It's the greatest setup punchline story ever. And he knows everyone's setup. He knows what we've been through. He even knows, like when I was a kid, I used to struggle with my reading and some other things. Even our setbacks are part of our setup so we can deliver the punchline we're called to deliver. It's like a slingshot or a bow and arrow. The further you've been set back, the further you can actually reach. But what are you going to aim for? That's where God's word comes in at. So yeah, I would say it's all one and the same. Whether I'm doing a corporate event, I do a lot of keynote at corporations, or if I'm at a church doing weekend services, or if I'm just at a venue, at a stadium or something. It's the same show wherever I go because I'm the same person wherever I am. And it's the same God that's at every event. So it's never anything different.
I think that there's a lot there that we took this in a direction I didn't expect, partially because that's the way that Michael Jr. does it, right? We have a whole list of questions that we didn't even get around to. But we've got this. What's that?
Are you crying? Are you crying right now?
Yeah.
Yes. You got emotional. Yes, he's like, I just came in a direction I wasn't even
expecting. I'm crying.
It's been a very emotional podcast.
You've hit some deep truths, and I'm crying because we got to bring this to a close. And it's going to be a while until we get to connect again.
Wow.
But let me
what did I do? What did I do?
Yeah. No, we're going to.
Why'd you say it like that?
We're going to have you back on. So I think you really blessed us with the. And I don't know if this is going to be like one of these year and a half things where like we come back and all of a sudden we show you like our foster kids that we adopted right on. I think it's cool as that. But
that'd be awesome.
What you just talked about, you know, one of the taglines we have, one of the things we have is like entrepreneurship can be a lonely journey, but it doesn't need to be. And I'm now questioning like that's kind of our outreach. And I'm thinking about that red thing. I'm thinking about the red blue thing. And I'm thinking, wait a second, what about the 20 to 30% of people? Now, some number of people are going through it's really lonely and we need to serve them, no doubt. But what about, you know, what percentage of people are like, oh, I didn't know it was supposed to be lonely. Maybe it's lonely. Maybe it is lonely. Yeah, I'm feeling lonely.
Right? Well, even just, I mean, that's so good, Henry. I'm thinking, yeah, I mean, change it, right? Entrepreneur is a fulfilling journey. Don't you want some friends?
Yeah.
Wow. I mean, like, what a different mentality. One is like, oh yeah, this is going to be awful as opposed to Fellowship of the Ring, right? Like, don't you want people with you on this amazing journey you've been called to?
Ooh, that sounds awesome, dude. I love that. And it's the same thing. You didn't change anything except for the mindset, the approach. And even as men, I mean, I know there's women entrepreneurs there, but you get a little pumped. Even when you said that, you're like, yo, let's do this. Like I can do this. It could be fun. I can be there for my family. Like there's some balance there in a significant way. And I get to help people with this product I got. Speaking of products I got, I want to give something to your people. Is that okay?
Please.
Oh.
All right, cool. Have you guys heard of Amway?
Yeah.
Sure. I was just playing. Yeah.
Join Michael Jr.'s network. That's awesome.
No, not even a little bit.
You get two. We'll get two.
We can do this journey together. Come on. It'll be fun. No. I like to spread laughter as much as I can. So I actually have taken my entire comedy special and made it available for people. All you have to do, and you can watch it with your family. It's only up for a little while. My team is telling me that it's up now. But if you go to michaeljr.com/extra, you can actually watch my entire comedy special with your family for free. michaeljr.com/extra. And we'll send you the whole comedy special.
We need to retape that completely. And we need to say, for a special limited time only, and only for Faith-Driven Entrepreneur listeners.
I'll do it right now.
Go to Michael's. No, I'm kidding you. No, we can't do that. That's artificial. It's contrived. It would there be
no. My guy just heard you. He just made it happen.
Yeah, we've never done something artificial and contrived on this podcast.
Yeah, never entrepreneurs. Hey, so let me say this: only for the people on your podcast who are listening right now. If you go to michaeljr.com/extra. You actually will get the comedy special. So if you go there and then if you tell somebody else, they can go too, actually. But the point enjoy it a lot. I really want people to laugh.
Thank you. That's amazing. We're going to get that out. We'll probably get that out and maybe we'll do a blog post on it and get it out in front of the podcast as well. But one of the things we'd love to close with, unfortunately we have to, is we love connecting God's word through our guests and our listeners. And we love trying to ask you just like, hey, is there something on your heart that maybe God's been sharing with you through a scripture? It could be something this morning, could be something you've been meditating on for a while, could be something you've been wrestling with your whole life, because that's how God's verses work sometimes. Mm-hmm. But I would love if you maybe just take a moment just to share maybe something from his scripture that you've been thinking about lately.
Yeah, so I have a word for the year that I'm soaking on right now, which is trust. And then I think about Proverbs 3:5. Actually, it's 2 Romans says,
Second Romans, the book of hesitations.
I lost y'all for a second, didn't I? I was like, oh, here we go. No, so Proverbs 3:5, trust in the Lord with all your heart and lean not on your own understanding. That right there, just like I look for opportunities to do that. So when I have to just trust, an example is I'm purposely this year looking for opportunities or going to seize opportunities to be more vulnerable with my family, right? Mm. So my daughter, who's 11, I was looking through my prayer notes and I saw, and I didn't want to share this with her or anybody, especially on this podcast, but I guess I am now because I'm just going to trust. I asked my daughter to pray for me one day because I saw where a comedian, whose name I won't mention, had just sold 80,000 tickets in 8 hours, right? And immediately I felt envy. And then I asked my daughter to pray for me. Now, I hadn't shared this with anybody before. I said, hey, can you pray for me? I didn't give her the details of it, But when she prayed for me, she prayed for my show because I was going to get on stage. I just didn't like the way that felt, that little bit of envy, that little hit of envy I had in that moment. And she prayed for me, and she didn't know. She's actually 10 years old at the time. And she said, God,
your
I just
daughter
thank
is
you
10 years older than you are?
She was 10 years old at the time.
Oh, yeah. Sorry.
Yeah. No, your daughter is 10 years older than me. That's what you were thinking. Anyway, so.
Oh, wow. Well played. Well played.
And she prayed, and I wrote the prayer down. She said, let my dad have a great show, and let my dad enjoy his show, and let there be no confusion. And when she said that, the confusion part just jumped out at me. Like, I should not get my event confused with anybody else's or what God called me to do with anybody else's thing. I need to trust in him with all my heart and lean not on my own understanding. So it just blessed me. And I shared that with her and let her know how effective her prayers are. So even in that moment of being vulnerable and sharing all of those details with her, and my wife was there as well, it was just really cool. And I just plan to just trust even more. So that scripture is really money to me. Trust in the Lord with all your heart and lean not on your own understanding.
Well, thank you for the gift. A bunch of different things to include, and especially it's just what an entrepreneur a lot of times is selling. We talked about that a bit, and there's some element of when you're selling, you're getting something from somebody, and just changing that dynamic and just giving. It's universally applicable. It's why you use it, but it may be something so obvious, you've been able to package it up and present it in a way that's, I think, new for this program, and it's a great perspective, and really grateful that you made the time.
You guys are awesome, man. This was very well done. Yeah, really, really well done. I really appreciate it. One of you guys were amazing. The other one was right. The other one was okay.
We'll fight that out later. Or just never know. We'll just never know.
No, we know. We know. We know that he likes the guy who's all dressed up. We are grateful for the opportunity to serve the community and see listeners come in from more than 100 countries. Entrepreneurship is often a lonely journey, but it doesn't have to be. The best way to stay connected is to join a group study with other faith-driven entrepreneurs like yourself. There's no cost, no catch. In person or online, you can meet for an hour a week with your peers from your backyard or the other side of the world. You can also stay connected by signing up for our monthly newsletter at faithdrivenentrepreneur.org. This podcast wouldn't be possible without the help of many of our friends. Executive producer Justin Foreman, intro mixed and arranged by Summer Dregs, audio and editing by Richard Barley. Our theme song is In the House by David Crowder.